Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. In this audio, I intend to cover Psalms chapter 126. I will entitle this psalm, Restore Our Fortunes, O Lord. The heading of the psalm is simply a song of ascent. That's A-S-C-E-N-T-S, going up. Here are four options as to what that means from the NIV Study Bible. Option number one, the psalm would be sung to music that went up in pitch. I think that's unlikely. Option number two, the ascents refers to the steps of the Jews returning from captivity, namely the Babylonian captivity, because the Jews are now walking up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was up on a mountain. Now, the context of this psalm is the return from Babylon, so that's a reasonable option. Option number three is that the psalm is sung as a song by the Levitical worship leaders who walked up the steps of the temple as they were singing. That's reasonable. I've seen that before. Option number four, the ascents refers to the steps of a pilgrim coming up to Jerusalem. Which pilgrims? The pilgrims who had to go to Jerusalem legally three times a year, in the spring for the Passover feast, in the summer for the Feast of Weeks, and in the fall for the Feast of Tabernacles. The pilgrims would have to come up to Jerusalem because, again, Jerusalem's on a hill. Adam Clark holds that view. GotQuestions.org holds that view. I think that's probably the majority view, although I'm not sure of that. Now, this psalm is the seventh of 15 psalms that have this title, A Song of Ascents. Now, sometimes it's a song of ascents of David, and sometimes it's a song of ascents of Solomon, but a song of ascents. So these are called the ascent psalms. David was the author of four of them. Solomon was the author of one of them. And 10 of them are anonymous, and this one is anonymous. We don't know the name of the psalmist, and so I will just call him the psalmist. It's only 6 verses long. I'll read the first 3 right now. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. In verse 1, the psalmist refers to the time that the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion. Well, that most probably, and I think almost conclusively, refers to the return of Jews in 538 B.C. from the Babylonian captivity. The return of the Jews, the famous return to Israel. This is the NIV Study Bible's view. Wikipedia says that the Persian king Cyrus made a decree of 539 saying, you can go back to Israel now, and then the next year in 538, they went back to Israel. Now, that date, 539, is disputed. I've seen 539, 538, 537, but somewhere around that time, the Jews went back to Jerusalem. Now, there is a marginal note, an alternate translation in the NIV, which goes this way, Lord restored the fortunes of, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. Well, restoring the fortunes, bringing back the captive, it's the same idea. The captives were said to be captive ones of Zion. Now, in the Old Testament, Zion has both literal and figurative uses. It could refer physically to the city of David plus Mount Moriah. The city of David is that long tongue of land that goes from north to south, with the Tyrrhenian Valley on the west and the Kidron Valley on the east and the Valley of Hinnom on the south. Mount Moriah is right to the north of the city of David, but sometimes Zion refers to both the city of David and Mount Moriah. Sometimes the city of Zion refers to the whole city of Jerusalem, and sometimes it refers to the whole land of Israel. In this case, when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, I'm assuming he's referring to the Israelites. I think the term here is broader than just for the people of Jerusalem, because I'm sure that there were other people in those two tribes that got taken into captivity, Judah and Benjamin, who didn't live in Jerusalem, but they came back to Jerusalem. So the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion. Now, of course, Zion can also refer figuratively to those who believe in God. It has a figurative use as well as a physical use. And in the New Testament, those who believe in God are New Testament believers in God. In fact, the book of Hebrews refers to Mount Zion as the church. Hebrews 12:22, instead you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. The author of Hebrews is writing to Hebrew Christians, and he says, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, that's the church. Now, as the captives were brought back from Babylon to Jerusalem, The psalmist says, "We were like those who dream. They were so happy they thought they were dreaming." The NIV note says that an alternate translation should be, "We were like men restored to health." Well, that's a little plain vanilla if you ask me. I like this idea. We were dreaming when we came back. This is too good to be true. Are we awake? Verse 2, the psalmist says, "Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting." Contrast that laughter on the return with the tears at the beginning of the exile. An unknown psalmist in Psalms 137, verse 1, says this, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion." David said in Psalms 14, verse 7, "Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores his captive people, Jacob will rejoice, Israel will be glad." Well, the implication there is Jacob is not rejoicing, Israel is not glad now. The people of Israel are very, very sad, but they will be glad when they come out. As Psalms 126 also says, the Israelites' mouth was filled with laughter, their tongue was filled with joyful shouting. And then they said among the nations, that means among the Gentile nations, "The Lord has done great things for the Israelites." The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. In other words, praise the Lord. Now, we go to Psalms 126, verses 4 through 6, and we will finish this psalm. The psalmist continues, "Restore our fortunes, Lord, like watercourses in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. Though one goes along weeping, carrying the bag of seed, he will surely come back with shouts of joy, carrying his sheaves." In verse 4, the psalmist says, "Restore our fortunes." The NIV marginal note says, "Or bring back our captives." Why would the psalmist be praying for the captives to come back since he's already rejoicing in the first three verses that the captives have already come back? Well, the answer to that is because they all did not return from captivity at once. And therefore, there is a prayer here for further returns to Israel, as Adam Clark and Jameson Fawcett and Brown point out. The NASB for verse 4 says, "Restore our captivity," which is a little strange way of putting it. It means restore our fortunes. Bring our guys back from captivity is what he means. And then in the end of verse 4, he says, "Like watercourses in the Negev." Of course, the Negev is the southern desert at the southern end of Israel. The NASB translates it as the south, like watercourses in the south. These desert areas were far to the south of Israel, bordering on the south with Edom. The NIV Study Bible says of this area, quote, "It is usually desert-like, but at times there are seasons of rain that leave standing pools of water and rivers of flowing water, a metaphor for God's blessings." In other words, those watercourses in the negative would be like the wadis, those dry streams that fill up when there's a flash flood or when there's a sudden rain shower. What's the point of comparison? The psalmist is trying to compare these watercourses in the Negev with the joy at the reappearing of what had been so painfully missed. In other words, living in Zion. And all of a sudden, we're living in the desert of Babylon, and all of a sudden there's water everywhere. We suddenly have blessings restored to us because we're back in Israel. In verse 5, the psalmist says, "Those who sow in tears will reap in joy." That was a proverbial expression, according to John Gill. If you think about it, sowing crops is very, very difficult. You have to cultivate, you have to weed, you have to turn over the soil. I'm not familiar with Jewish agriculture, but I know it's a lot of work, backbreaking work. You have to go around broadcasting the seed. It's a lot of hard work, and you don't see anything for your work. But then you wait a little bit, get to harvest season, and hot dog, look at all the wheat we've grown, or all the barley. There's shouts of joy at the harvest. In fact, that's why they had so many harvest festivals at the time of the harvest. That was a time of joy. And so the proverb here is applied to the Israelites who, when they went off into captivity to Babylon, were crying. And when they came back, they were shouting with joy. That's like somebody who sows. He's crying because of all the hard work, but then he exhales shouts of joy at the harvest time. Let's look at a couple of verses in Ezra chapter 6, which describes this joy of the returning Israelites. Ezra 6:16 says this, "And the sons of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy." That was in 5:16. The Israelites recommenced building the temple in 5:20, the restored temple, the second temple, and they finished in 5:16, and they had a big feast, a dedication with joy. Ezra 6:22, six verses later, and they observed the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had caused them to rejoice, and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to encourage them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. The king of Assyria that Ezra mentions here, who had his heart turned, is more precisely the king of Persia. He's called the king of Assyria because the Persian kings were the successors to the great Assyrian empire, according to the Cambridge and Benson commentary. That, of course, is referring to the Edict of Cyrus in 539 or so B.C. when he says, "Okay, Israelites, you can go back to Israel." When they went back, they celebrated because they had rebuilt the temple. Then they had a Feast of Unleavened Bread, the 7 days that comes after the Passover feast, and they celebrated that feast with joy. So they sowed in tears, reaped with joy. Verse 6 continues with that metaphor. The psalmist says, "Though one goes along weeping, carrying the bag of seed, he will surely come back with shouts of joy, carrying his sheaves." Now, this is a continuation of the metaphor because carrying the bag of seed refers to the sowing, because you have to carry a bag of seed to broadcast the seed. So you sow in tears, and then you surely come back with shouts of joy, carrying his sheaves, because the sheaves are what you reap at the harvest time. And so that's a fairly easy poetical analogy there. And so the song ends on a happy note, return from captivity. Again, that might be why these 15 psalms from Psalms 120 to 134 are called the Psalm of Ascents, because the returning Israelites are going up to Jerusalem as they return from Babylon. That's debatable. There are other psalms in this series of 15 psalms that don't refer to the return of Babylon. But at any rate, we have now finished our discussion of Psalms 126. We're prepared now to go to Psalms 127 in our next audio. That psalm I will entitle, "Unless the Lord Builds the House." I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.